stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. It's Thursday. Welcome to March 1st.
Our time is just flying, you know?
Yeah. So
really
long,
is.
February. We won't see another one till next year.
Yep. And now it's rent due. Damn.
Did you enjoy January and February so far?
You know,
you feel it's a good year?
I make the best of everything. So, yes, it's definitely a better year than last year. That's for sure.
I think so. But it really started off nicely, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, the stock market is up. Everybody's feeling better and more confident and stuff. So, mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe it's...
Right.
Maybe it is a good year.
Today's a good day. I got my car back.
Yeah, congratulations.
I know. Literally $700 later.
After it was impounded the other day.
Yeah, nightmare. And I took a friend with me downtown yesterday. I mean, I can't even tell you. They made me run around to four different places, and they're about 5 miles apart. So if
really?
I didn't have someone with me, I'd be like walking.
Walking
I
won't. This.
I hate to be a snob, but there's no way I'll get on a bus. Like, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. I won't do it.
Nobody really gets on a bus.
Because they're like, you can just do this. And I'm like, I don't think so. I would never get on a bus.
Really?
That is so snobby. I'm sorry. I think germs are disgustingness. And like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
So it's a germ thing.
It's a germ thing. It's the people thing. It's like, nah, it's so rude of me. But it's like a lot of bums ride the bus. Not to be like, I just don't want to be.
No, you're right.
I just don't want to be around smells and dirty people.
Right.
It freaks me out. I'll do the metro. Like, I'm fine with the metro.
Right.
Occasionally, if you're going, you know, because it's cheaper, you're paying like $30 for parking downtown.
Right.
That's stupid. But and only if I'm going out at night or something there. But I will bus.
Yeah.
You're insane. Like, I'm sorry.
I know. What would you do if you lived like in Europe or in New York where you had to take the subway?
I'm fine with the subway. I lived in New York for a while. I'm fine with the subway. I just will not get on a bus. I can't. I won't
do
it.
You think it's different?
I just feel like, well, I hate to say this, but I feel like it's more like weird people on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just
in
feel
LA
like
probably, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in other cities, everybody rides the bus.
It freaks me out. Like, it literally, actually, like, if you want to creep me out, you would sit me on a bus.
Yeah.
It would be like a challenge for me. I would like want to throw up in my mouth. Like, I can't do it.
Oh God.
But anyway, so thank goodness I had someone with me yesterday, and I ran around to like four different places, and you had to like get a paper here, and then take that paper here, and pay something here, and then run somewhere else. It was like insane.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that sucks.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to do that without a car because your car has been impounded.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so annoying. But you know what? I got it back.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Good.
Thank God. The car is cursed, though.
Really?
I feel like it's cursed. It's something always happens in that car. Like, I went out last night to dinner with a friend, and he's like, really? I'm not surprised. It's that car. Like, it's your car. Like, I know. I need to get a new car.
Yeah.
I do. I love my car in so many ways. In other ways,
either that or get tags for your car, you know?
Yeah. But see,
I think that would help.
The reason the tags weren't on, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
It's because of a shitty landlord. But that's a whole other story. Yeah. Anyway,
okay.
That's another story.
We're not going to get into that story.
No, another time, another place. Another show is what I meant. But anyways.
Yeah. So, well, that's cool. So.
Yeah.
Any progress with the stalker at all, or?
That's done. I have the paperwork for it. Temporary restraining order, but I have to go into court in a couple weeks. So.
I see. Okay.
But yeah, it'll be fine. I have enough proof.
Really?
Yeah.
So where did they find him to serve him this? I mean, do they know where he lives?
Well, I mean, they have, because I have his driver's license number.
Really?
Because when he was arrested at my house.
Uh huh.
I made my friends dig it out of his wallet before he was arrested.
Really?
So that I could photocopy it.
Yeah.
Because I was smart. And I photocopied it, and then I gave it to the cop. I put it back. We put it back in his wallet, and then so I know his driver's license number.
Yeah,
so
and they know
I
where
put
he
that
lives
on from all the forms.
Right.
And I put I know the address on there. It was one address, and then we found a record of his from Arizona. He was arrested for, get this, destruction of property and trespassing. Kinda
really?
Like the same thing he did to me.
Yeah, kind of.
So yeah, and except it doesn't go in full detail of what he did to me, but there were other charges he should have or. So anyway, I think he's done this before, obviously. I'm not surprised. Some guy that's going to hide in a closet, and it's not the first time he's done this. There's no way. There's no way. It's just the balls to do that. So, we have two addresses. One is from one place from when he was charged. It was only a year ago he got in trouble for all this.
Really?
Yep. And then his license is something else. So whatever, I gave them both and the DL number, so they'll find him.
Yeah.
Sheriff Department. Thank you.
Yeah.
The only time I love the sheriff. No, I'm kidding. I don't like them for impounding my car. Anyway.
Well, okay. So you're in a better mood today?
I am in a better mood, yes. Good. I'm going to go running after this. I feel good. Get back on track, clear my head, and then I have a lot of work to do.
Good.
We're good. We're good. Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to be celebrating Justin Bieber's birthday today?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's 18 years old today.
Rock out. I'm going to buy his lunchbox with his
he
face on
He still looks
it.
12, you know? I don't know how he's 18.
I don't know. I don't follow any of that.
No, you don't care.
I don't care.
I know. Some people do. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah.
Like me. I really give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, his songs are cool. I don't even know what he sings. I know, like...
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've heard his songs, and I'm like, oh, that's not bad. That's cool. Oh, that's just... Oh, okay. But I have no idea. I don't care.
Yeah, well, we're not
have
the target market.
I don't have the Bieber fever.
Yeah.
But, maybe I'll buy his lunchbox today in celebration and give it to some child who needs it. I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh,
you know
crazy.
What I'm saying. But anyway.
All right. Well, enough nonsense. All right. We have a very special guest in the studio. We have Kate Linder.
Mm-hmm.
And good morning to you.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes.
Great. I love listening to you guys.
Really?
Great.
So how did you find out about Kate?
Actually, I also write for a website called Hotels of the Rich and Famous.
Right.
Which is about elaborate hotels around the world that a lot of celebrities have traveled. And my boss, Heather, was doing an article on Kate. So that's kind of how we connected.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
What a small world,
yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you guys had never met before.
No.
This is the first time.
Yeah.
And so what made you agree to come for the interview? You'd never met her.
She's like,
I know, but I knew you'd be here. I'd be
safe. Oh, thank you. This is cool. So now, Brigetta, you introduced her as a former Young and the Restless actress, right?
Former? No.
Oh,
she's
not
still
former.
On it.
You're
no.
Still
no.
On it.
She's been
I'm
on
sorry.
It.
I'm sorry.
No,
so sorry.
Actually,
I'm
she's like been on it for forever.
Really?
She's like, yeah. One of
well,
them.
April 8th is actually my 30th anniversary.
Are you
really?
Serious?
My 30th anniversary.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
incredible.
You're like, I mean, you land a role like this, you're set for life.
Well, I mean, yeah. I'm very fortunate because Young and the Restless is the number one show.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to be part of it.
I'm
definitely.
Sure. I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, just imagine if it didn't last very long, you would be looking for other jobs and stuff. This is like steady work.
It's great, especially because it was only supposed to be for one day.
Are you
really?
Serious?
That's all it was supposed to be.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
wow.
So you went to audition for the
I
part?
Went in. I had actually an interview with the... casting director, Tom Palmer was his name. He was an incredible man. He has since passed away. Mm. But and I left him a tape of some of my work, and then I went home and thought, oh, you know, this is never going to happen. When is this ever going to happen? And his assistant, is Jill Newton at the time, she later became casting director, but she called me and she said, you know, Tom's finished with your tape. I said, already? She said, yeah, it was pretty strange. You know, he left. He never does this, but he went right in and looked at it. I went, okay. So I said, I'll be down in a couple of days because I didn't live near at the time. And so they said, okay. A few days later, he called me and he said, listen, I have this role. It's really small. And if you blink, you're going to miss it. But he said, I'm telling you that I'm looking for something else for you on the show. Because usually if you do a small role like that, that's it for you. Mm. So I said, okay. And my first lines, I'll never forget them because there's something that my family never hears, and that was, dinner is served.
Right.
Family never hears that, so.
Yeah.
So anyway, and here we are 30, almost, well, in a few weeks, 30 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, April 1982. I can see that on your website.
April
1982. Wow, that's amazing. So now, how long had the show been going or running before you came on the show?
Oh, well, about 38 years now.
38 years before.
Before.
So this show has been around forever.
23 years being number one without missing one week.
Wow.
That's incredible.
So it's been around for a long time, some of these soap operas.
Absolutely.
I used to watch it back in the day.
Did you?
Well, my mother used to watch them, and I remember just being a kid, and my mom would fold laundry, and that was like her time. Like, it was her me time. She would fold laundry and watch A Young and the Restless, and I would just sit there with her, and it was like, okay, I don't know what's going on. But then I, like, got into it. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then I was off to school, so.
I know. It's easy to get sucked into them, you know, because they're like, I mean, they're just so dramatic, you know.
Well, our show is, and I believe it's number one for lots of reasons. Maria Bell is our exec producer and head writer, and all our writers have been with us a long time. And also, we don't really have a revolving door policy there, so thank goodness. So when you tune in, you'll see the characters that you've grown up with or have been around for a long time, and also they deal with like real life situations, and you know, like my character is a single mother, and you know, has a daughter and who drives her crazy, and you know, she has a granddaughter. Oh my goodness, how could that happen? But anyway. So it's just, you know, as life progresses, and it's much like real life as well, as when you don't know, when you wake up in the morning, you didn't know, like when you went to court, you didn't know you were going to get your car impounded.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you don't know what's going to happen. It's much like that with the show. I get the script and I go, I'm going to do what? I mean, I didn't know. You just never know. So it's great.
Now, is the work like daily? You do this every day?
Or? Well, it's Monday through Friday. It depends on the storyline. Like some weeks I'm there every day, some I'm not. You know, it's just different. That's what's going on in the storyline. So
with soaps, like, I know, do you have like how long do you have to prepare? Because I know it's quicker than TV.
Yes, it's very, very fast, because we well, first of all, you get your script about a week ahead of time, but you don't, you get cuts and changes the night before.
Okay.
So especially if you have a lot of dialogue and you know you have to learn it, and then you know, it gets changed sometimes. And we film about, we're anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks out of when we film it and airs.
Okay.
But our show, a nighttime show, will take a week to shoot 1 hour, a primetime show. We shoot it an hour in a day.
Wow.
So it's very, very fast.
Yeah.
And now with budget constraints and so forth, I mean, you know, you have one take and you better
nail it.
So the actors have a lot of pressure on them to really perform and memorize the lines and everything every day.
There is a lot of pressure.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really have always said this. I think daytime actors, you know, are some of the best. I mean, and people don't, you know, they really don't get the credit, because we'll have film people come on our show, primetime people come on our show, and they can't, they go, what?
Yeah.
You wait a minute. I can only do this one time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have cue cards? We don't have cue cards. You don't have, what? How am I supposed to do this?
Yeah.
So, and people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Really don't.
But I would imagine, you know, it's because you do this every day and it's like a regular job, then you feel comfortable going in there. It's not like, you know, I don't know, just let's say CSI or something, where they bring a lot of new actors every week and things like this, and they have to go through. I mean, you guys pretty much know your characters.
You're in your character.
Yeah, you're in character, and you know pretty much, you know, it's just different things to say, but essentially it's the same character.
Now, is it hard to slip in and out of character? Like, let's say, you know, you're off doing, you know, you're off today, or but then tomorrow you have work, and then the next day you have work, and the next day, and then you have like a few hours off. Like, do you, is it hard to come in and out of character, or do you have a way that, like, something that you do?
Well, you know, my character is so out there, and I mean, I'm like my character and the fact that we wear the same size clothes. you know, I
what
don't
a
know.
Shocker, yeah.
Some of it, I don't know. Some of the things she does. I'm going, oh no! Why would you ever do that? Why would you say that? And it's interesting because then I put the wardrobe on and I start acting like her.
Okay.
Just yeah, it's crazy and say really. Sometimes things that are you just said that to your boss. Are you crazy? I mean, because you had the wardrobe on.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you talking like that? So funny.
So now, how does the did you say it was the producer that decided to let you stay after that first line?
Well, I actually, you know, after that first day, and I was walking off the set, and the producer at the time was Ed Scott. He's now producing over at Bold and Beautiful. But he ran after me, and he said, are you available tomorrow? And I said, sure. Sure I am. Yeah. And, and you know, in the beginning, my character's name is Esther, mm-hmm. Esther Valentine. And then I came back in the next day, and then they periodically kept calling me in, and then my character didn't have a name, so when the scripts would come, it would say maid. And then Jean Cooper, who plays my boss, Mrs. Chancellor, one day we were rehearsing our scene, and then when we went to tape, she started calling me Esther, and fortunately I responded and what are you saying? And then other actors started calling me that, then the writers started writing it, and then Bill Bell, who was he was an incredible man. He was our, you know, creator of the show. He with his wife, Lee Bell, and exec producer, head writer. And so he said, okay, we had this contest for the last name, national contest. And he came to me with some of the ones that he liked. And he said, okay, what would you like? There's two here, Diamond or Valentine. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, Valentine, I thought, because I was married on Valentine's Day, and I thought that would be good luck.
Really?
And I thought it went with her, and it turned out to be very good luck.
That's awesome.
Esther Valentine. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know how Valentine goes with Esther, because Esther is a Jewish name, and Valentine not so much.
Esther was my grandmother's name, too, which was really kind of interesting as well.
Yeah.
That she started calling me Esther was just
random.
You know, random. And so... it was great.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And Valentine's kind of like Italian, I guess.
Right.
I think
is
of like,
it really like Valentino?
Yeah.
I didn't think of it that way. I just keep thinking of it as Valentine.
Well, there's like Eddie Valentine. There's like some gangsters, like Italian gangsters.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Hey. That's
there
a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. She notices everything Italian.
I know. I'm Italian. I know. Exactly.
Wow. So this is really cool, you know. And so he called you back the next day, and that's
then
it.
Then they started calling me in, you know, periodically. And then a while after that, I went on contract, and so I was under contract to the show, and the lamb, thank goodness.
Wow. And I mean, when you act like this, do you every day have to pray they don't kill off the character?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to like go up. I could go. No, I don't even want to say it. Go upstairs and not come down. I mean, that would not be good.
Yeah.
No.
Because this is
I've had so many things happen. I mean, in 30 years, my gosh, I've been kidnapped. I gave birth in the middle of a storm on the stairs. I, you know. Went out with a crazy, got my bosses to pretend they were the maid and the butler so that because I answered an ad in a singles magazine and lied and said I was the lady of the house. And just great things to play.
Yeah, I mean, the storylines are just bizarre, you know, but people like it.
Yeah.
People like it.
Yeah.
It's I think, a unique way of presenting drama. You know, it's different from everything else that you watch, you know, soap operas.
Yeah, it's great. I have to go back and say what you said about the actors being so much more. I mean, they have to go through so much. I mean, just because I do TV at night and whatnot, and it's like, okay, so you get a script and okay, they have changes last minute, but still it's like you have all week to prepare. So whatever. And you're like not in every scene, you know, it just takes, you know, I remember like for Californication, which is a half an hour show, we had all week to film. So it's like, oh, okay, I'll just chill up here in my trailer for a bit. Like, I'll do some sit-ups, you know, like whatever kind of thing. But it's like, you know, with the soap stars, it's you guys really are I think you're incredible actors. I really do. There's so much pressure, and you really do have like so many different scripts and so much. I mean, the one take thing is incredible. I mean, yeah. It's like, and they do call me two take Tammy usually.
Really?
So, yes, I will say. But I think that's incredible. I think that I've always wanted to do soaps, but I admire. Yeah. Actors that are on.
You should really try it out.
Yeah,
you should really try it
maybe.
Out.
Maybe.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, gotta get my agent.
So, yeah.
That's a whole other story. But yeah, no, I admire you for absolutely because I think it's such hard work and it's incredible that, you know, and they're great stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, we have a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Sam, Brigetta, yeah. How are you going? It's your old time friend, Jesse.
Yes, Jesse, how you doing?
Yeah. Forget about me.
Yeah. I figured it was you. I thought I'm not going to let you call too many times because I didn't answer the other day because we were busy. So
oh, okay.
I thought I'd give
yeah,
you
I called
chance.
In. I don't know. It was about maybe 2 weeks ago or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And nobody answered the phone, so I just
yeah,
said, oh, okay.
No, I recognize your area code. But sometimes, you know, we're in the middle of a conversation and it's hard to
pick up. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Okay.
So do you have anything new you want to share with us today or is it just a hi?
I just called in to say, you know, basically say what's up and see how Brigetta was doing. I heard about her, you know, stalker thing or whatever. Yeah. I heard mention it on Twitter. So
I know, Jesse, but we're in the middle of an interview here. I was wondering if you have something for Kate. Like,
oh, no, I didn't know. I wasn't listening to the show right now. I just called the number because I just got in right now. So.
Oh, you weren't listening. Well, we have.
I didn't know you guys had a guest on
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, we have a soap star here. So.
Oh, okay.
Soap opera star, but. Jesse, thanks so much for calling, man. Call us back tomorrow, and we'll chat some more.
All right, you guys have a good day.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. It helps when you listen to the show before you call, you know, because then you know what's going on. But anyway, let's get back to that. So, you know, I wanted to say that, you know, working this for 30 years, it's sort of like the role becomes you, and you become the role, right? I mean, the thing is that character is part of you every day.
It is. It's just it's really amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just so I can't believe it. I
yeah.
say the word. I say 30 years, and I just
it's
I
hard
can't
to believe,
believe it.
Huh?
I can remember the first day like it was yesterday.
Wow.
April 8th, 1982. I'll never forget it.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, congratulations
yeah.
on that.
Thank
you know, I
you.
Mean, it takes.
I've just been so honored because the show has afforded me to do. So many incredible things I've been able to give back because of that. And I'm celebrity spokesperson for the ALS Association, Lou Gehrig's
mm-hmm.
disease.
Oh, wow.
And I do, you know, lots of giving back and different cancer organizations and Make-A-Wish organization and
right.
AIDS.
Yeah, I see on your website you have a lot of things that you do, huh? That you're involved in, I mean, you know, like... where was this? Yeah, raised a lot of money for Susan G. Komen
yes,
Foundation.
Yes, we did that. I do a tea, actually, Young and the Restless Tea. We do it every year. We do it in Canada, in Vancouver.
Love Vancouver.
And we bring up Young and the Restless Tea for the Breast Cancer Association there. And we just did one here in the States, the first one in the States, in Seattle for Susan B. Komen. And we're working on things right now, hopefully to do more. And
awesome.
So it's just been really, really, really fabulous.
Yeah. So, Anna, how do you find the time to do this with your schedule if you have to work every
it's
day?
It's kind of crazy, but, you know, yeah. it's just like anything else. If you know, if you want something done, they say mm-hmm. ask the busiest person you know.
It's true.
I don't know what it is. It's just like if I never have any time, but if I did and was sat down, you know, for once and I, mm-hmm. you know, then I don't know. Probably yeah. wouldn't get done. Wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Are you originally from L.A.? Or?
I am.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I am.
Wow, that's so
unusual. I'm a native.
Yeah.
I grew up in Arcadia, actually.
Really?
Oh, wow.
You
Not
know, Santa Anita are... Racetrack, that's Arcadia.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
So you grew up here, and what did you do, like, after high school? Did you always know you wanted to act?
I always knew I wanted to act.
Really? So you started, did you start early?
I started, you know, I did all the plays in high school, all the leads in all the plays. I graduated from San Francisco State in theater. And then, you know, it's just that what I always wanted to do, but no one in my family was involved in the business. And
right.
so I had I had no one.
Not a lot of support in that.
They were very supportive, but they didn't have a clue of, you know, what to do. They thought, and they thought it was a really rough business, which it was, which it is. And so they figured if I wanted it badly enough, you know, I would just figure it out. so it's just been amazing, and I can't believe it, that all the things that happened, and I was so honored. Actually, it was April 10th, a few years ago, I was honored with the star, so star on the Walk of Fame. And
it's are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, congratulations. That's amazing. I mean, you get recognized for many years of work.
Well, the stars, you know, for lots of things, and, you know, the long term on the show, and also, and giving back, and giving back to the community. I've done 4 USO tours.
Wow.
Went to Afghanistan, Pakistan, all the stands.
Yeah.
Korea.
What great destinations.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, Guantanamo Bay. I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're for the war or against whatever, but, you know, when you see, and definitely for the men and women that are there.
They're there,
so that the three of us can be here today. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. When did you go to Afghanistan?
How long it was ago? A few years ago, and it was Thanksgiving time.
Aww.
And I'll never forget, because there was this one young woman, and they said, you know, she's a fan, and she was posted doing guard duty, and so she wasn't going to be able to come in for, you know, dinner, because we were serving Thanksgiving dinner.
Aww.
And I said, oh, my gosh, well, take me to her. So, you know, they drove me to where she was, and, you know, she said, oh, my goodness, this is the best Thanksgiving night I've ever had. And I said, what? I mean,
really?
How can you say that? She,
yeah.
And she says, because I said, you're not even having dinner. Oh,
yeah,
this is terrible. She said, no, I get to meet you. She was so sweet.
Yeah.
It was just so, and to be able to give back and to do that, I mean, to be there and to be in the helicopters going from place to place and doing these takeoff landings and combat landings and takeoffs, which it's hard to, you can't see this on radio, but my hand is going around and around like up. So you have, it was just an amazing experience.
I bet. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you feel scared being there too?
Yeah. Really? There were times where I thought, what am I doing? Because there was one base where we were in Afghanistan that they had to have it pitch black, so you couldn't see. So you couldn't see where to go,
where
the bathrooms were, where the, you know.
Because it's hidden, is that why?
Well, because they don't want any light to attract, you know.
Right.
Know where you are, kind of thing.
Really scary.
So, and you know, it was. I knew that I would be okay, but it was definitely.
Wow.
It was something that my husband was able to go as well, so it was great. But then we weren't able to stay together because I was in the women's barracks and he was with the men. So it was good.
Wow. Yeah. So they separate them, huh? The men and the women.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I did realize that.
Jeez, Sam.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're going to be
And so you finished high school. What did you do then? Did you start acting right away? Or
I went to, I think back, I went to San Francisco State. I went to college.
I see. Okay, so you went to college.
You know, my parents had thought, they said, you know, this is a really tough business and you need to get an education and need to get a degree and, you know.
Yeah. Good for you.
So I did that.
Yeah, and it helped you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you majored in theater?
That was my major. And, you know, but then you graduate from college, you go, okay.
Now what?
I'm here. I'm ready.
Right.
Okay, hire. What is this? People aren't hiring me? Well, what is that? And then, you know, I thought, well, that's all I had to do. Mm-hmm. Wrong. So, you know, I still, it's a business. It's called show business for a reason. It's a business of show.
Right.
And you have to keep up on that. It's a craft. Mm-hmm. You have to, I go to class. I still go to acting class. I go to voice lessons, dance lessons. I started in the theater and I started doing musicals, summer stock. I'm a tap dancer, so I still do that several times a week. But you know, you have to keep that up. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, okay, I was waiting, like, what is happening here? You know, and realizing that, okay, I guess I have to, I'm not finished with class. I'm mm-hmm. not finished studying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing thing. Just keep going.
So. Mm-hmm. So you moved back from San Francisco.
I did.
What did you do then?
I was trying to get a job, and then I decided, well, okay, I needed a job that was going to give me time off so mm-hmm. that I could pursue my career and still have money coming in so I could eat. Yeah. It might be nice. So I actually became a flight attendant.
Oh, cool.
And so I was a flight attendant in the beginning out of Oakland for an airline. It was a charter. It's called Trans International. And I did that. And then I thought, well, this isn't working because I'm gone too long. I would be gone like 2 and 3 weeks at a time, then come back. If you ask my husband how long, you know, he'd been married, he would just divide it by half. I was never home.
Aww.
And so then I became a flight attendant for United. And actually, I still am. So I still fly.
Oh, my gosh.
So I do the show, you know, during the week. And then I fly on some weekends. And
that's so cool.
And in fact, I found out that I was receiving the star on the airplane, which was kind of weird. Because I had it was just wild because I had taken a trip to Denver and back, and it was during the week, which I usually don't do, but I had to trade things around because I had an appearance that weekend. So I thought I better check my messages because I didn't tell anyone. I left really early.
Yeah.
So we went to Denver. The passengers get off. I'm checking my message. I'm sort of half asleep because it's really early.
Right.
And then there was a message from Johnny Grant, who was an amazing man. He was the honorary mayor of Hollywood. And he said, well, Kate, I'm calling to tell you congratulations. And I'm thinking, what is that for? Well, the show had won the Emmy previously, so I thought, how sweet of him to say that. That's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just still half listening. And then, because I thought, well, I'll just save it, and when I get home, I'll listen.
Right.
So he said, yes, Kate, congratulations, because you are being honored with the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I say it now, I can't even hardly say it.
Did you faint?
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't catch my breath.
Gosh.
I was so shocked.
Yeah.
And then I started crying. This other flight attendant comes up. She thought someone died.
Yeah.
She didn't know. What's wrong? What's that? So I told her, and she says, oh, my God. So now the passengers are getting on. I'm the purser, so I'm in charge. I'm in first class. They're getting on. I'm a wreck. And she says, go hide in the galley. I'll try to take care. So I'm in the galley. The captain comes out, and he says, what is going on here? So, you know, someone told him. So then after I got it together, after I called everyone, my husband, my parents, my publicist, my manager, and after we took off, he announced it to the passengers,
aww,
which I thought was so that's
amazing.
How I found out. So doing my other job.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So when did you get the star? What year?
It was actually, I can't believe it. It was April 8th, 2008. So that means it's going to be 4 years.
Wow.
I cannot believe that.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Gosh, in fact, to go there periodically, make sure it's still there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know.
Clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, it could be really bad. I mean, it's in a great place.
Yeah, where is it?
It's at 7021 Hollywood. Not that I don't know the address. Of course. 7021 Hollywood Boulevard. It's across from the Roosevelt Hotel. It's so, and it's so it's to the left of Madame Tussauds and the theater, Chinese theater.
Oh,
so
wow, that's great.
A great place.
That's a great spot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I bet every time you have guests coming in from out of town, you take them there, right?
Well, a lot of people like to, you know, go see it. It's fun. It's can't believe it.
That's so amazing.
Wow. I mean, it marks a big accomplishment, you know.
Well, it's amazing because a few weeks before that, my husband and I were at the Pantages, you know, seeing it. Show, and we walked out, and I was looking at the star. I said, look at this. I said, can you imagine what that must be like? I couldn't even believe it. I mean, that's something I'm never going to know because, you know, and as a little girl, I would see those stars and go, wow, and because that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to act. I wanted to be an actress, and I couldn't believe it, and then a few weeks later,
right.
Shocked.
Yeah.
Still shocked.
I'm sure.
Aww.
Yeah. Now, what about daytime Emmys? I'm sure the show has been nominated many times.
Yeah, the show's been nominated lots and lots of times. I've been governor of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Wow. And co-chair of the daytime programming peer group. Then I'm also on the board of AFTRA.
Okay.
Yeah, too. As
How
well.
Do you feel about the whole AFTRA
merger?
Yeah.
It's just I was at an online thing last night. This is really interesting. You bring this up. There are a lot of factions out there that think it shouldn't happen. And they've tried to merge several times.
Yes.
I now feel that we do not have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
With the way the world is going and the way unions are and the work and what happens in other states, mm-hmm. We'll just get rid of you.
Right.
I mean, we have no choice. We'll be a lot more powerful and stronger together than separately.
Right.
And I think that we have to merge.
I was kind of in the middle of it because I'm SAG and AFTRA too. And but I guess for so many things, it's like, okay, you can just join AFTRA. You know, just some of my friends are like, or my agent is like, oh, just join AFTRA now because you'll be SAG soon. And I'm like, you know what? I've worked so hard get to where I am to be SAG and AFTRA. And I do work all the time, but that just to join, really?
Yeah.
That bothers me. It bothers me a lot. And so that's the only.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you that I had the same thing because it was really hard for me to get into SAG.
Mm-hmm.
It was so hard because I was a member of AFTRA and getting into SAG was it was hard work.
Yep.
And finally when it happened, we celebrated. I mean,
me
I didn't have a job. I would go celebrate because you got into SAG. And and you're right. That bothered me greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And but now I have to look at the big picture and what's going to happen to your profession. What's going to happen when you can't get, you know, when everything's going to go non-union and there's no money and there's no, you know, you have to look at the big picture because I also in the beginning was going, no, I'm not letting them in. I had to work so hard to get in. They have to work as hard as I do.
Yeah. Yep.
And did and still do.
Yeah.
And but there is a bigger picture and we are stronger than together than separate.
Okay.
You think so? So
you have to. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way we're going to preserve what we have and go forward.
That's true. And there is so much non-union work turning up left and right. It's ridiculous.
You know, because the producers, when you're negotiating with the producers all come together, and they're different producers, but they come together to negotiate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think we should come together to negotiate?
You're right.
And most of us are members of both.
Mm-hmm.
I am also a member. I'm a member of all three, Equity and, you know, SAG and AFTRA. Yeah. And eventually, you know, hopefully Equity will come in and then we'll all be together because that's really the way it has to be.
Right.
Yeah. So it's important to have a union here in Hollywood in the film industry, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But generally, I'm against unions, you know, because they become too big and stuff. But
Sam, what about the work rules and the rules? And you know, like if there weren't unions, you know, I'm a member of several different unions, and it seems like, you know, I'm always involved in something that, you know, like, you know, with United, there's union but you have to have a union to protect the workers and protect your rules and your rights. And what happens to your pension?
Yeah.
And what happens to when companies can just take it away?
That's
you know,
true.
What
I guess
happens,
by the nature of the
your
job.
Your insurance.
You know,
the work rules, your medical insurance.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to think of, you know.
That's true, because you're not employed by just one company. You constantly are employed by different people and stuff. So there's nobody to really pay your insurance and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I can understand. I can understand your point of view, and I don't think these unions are as bad as some other unions in the country that have become monsters in their own right. But I can actually see that, you know, except I'll tell you when I don't like it is when the consumer is being held hostage during contract negotiations, you know, when people walk out and they decide, you know, the writers are not going to write anymore and the directors are not going to do this. And you know, it's sort of like you're taking the audience the consumer hostage. You know?
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But maybe with everybody together, that kind of thing won't happen anymore. See? And then you won't have your audience members hostage, because I agree.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely don't want that, because we're there. You know, we're there for the audience members. We're there to, you know, the main function, of course, is to provide entertainment.
Entertainment, exactly.
Right. That's right. What it is. And yeah. So, and I think with everybody together and for the common goal, I think you won't see as much of that going on.
Now, is it easier to get a job if you're in the union or if you're not in the union?
Well, if you're not in the union, you're not going to get union work. You're not going to get not going to get on television. You're not going to get on, mm-hmm. you
know. Oh, because all of those are union,
everything's
right?
Union. Yeah, yes. It's all union. Yeah, and if you're union, you can't do non-union work.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, as long as it keeps you guys
but
alive.
But if you're not
you know?
In the union
yeah.
and you want to film and they say, okay, be here at 2 in the morning, you're going to work till 2
true.
In the morning the next night. Maybe it will give you an hour off. It's freezing cold. There's snow. Oh, you don't have a heater in the dressing room? Well, I'm sorry. It's broken. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, well, you don't have – we ran out of food.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Give water.
Oh, I'm sorry. We can't get you home today because, you know – we don't have enough money to pay you of your ticket. You know, so I mean, you know, it can go on and on and on. You're
That's
not protected.
True.
You gotta have
definitely are not protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. So in the last few minutes, let's talk about some of the things you're doing now. You're doing these charities and fundraising and things like that. What is what are some of the organizations? You mentioned them earlier. But
yeah, the ALS Association, as I said, I'm celebrity spokesperson, and I'm actually will be in Washington, D.C. We do an advocacy day. I have spoken before the Senate Appropriations Committee
oh, wow.
and pushing for, you know, monies for ALS. I mean, it's you know, people have called it an orphan disease because they say, well, that's what that means is there's not enough people or not as many people that contract ALS, but that's definitely not true. There are just as many people. It's just that they don't survive.
Yeah.
And it's a horrific disease because you are trapped in your own body. Your mind works perfectly well, much better than I'm sure mine works, but nothing else works.
Wow.
And it's a terrible, terrible, terrible disease. And I know there is a cure.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cure out there. It's just we haven't found it yet.
Right.
And there was this gentleman, Andrew Friesen was his name. He was an amazing man, and he had ALS, and he always said, it doesn't matter how many breaths I take in this lifetime, but rather what I do with those breaths. And I intend
phenomenal.
To take every breath that I have
right.
left and fight and fight and fight
wow.
until we get a cure for this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now out of all the organizations, what attracted you to this one?
Well, it's this one, actually, my brother-in-law has ALS. And
I
so
see,
when
okay.
that happened...
Mm-hmm.
I went, oh, my God, you know, and I knew a little bit about it because there was an actor on one of the other shows, Michael. He was on Guiding Light. Michael Zaslow had ALS. So I knew something about it, and I thought, this is not good. This is really bad. What can I do? I need to help. I need to do something. And so that's how it started.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now it's gone way beyond him.
Right.
It's just I'm here for the long haul, and I'm here till we find a cure.
That's nice.
Great.
And how long have you been doing this one?
About 5 years.
5 years. Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, see, if I was an actor, I was making decent money and stuff, I'd just go and enjoy it, you know? I mean, I'm not going to be... you know, I'm not the kind that gets involved in these things, but I think
you would.
I think I would.
You're a good guy.
I think you are.
No,
I
it's
mean,
not
you,
about
you,
being good or bad. It's just about, you
know...
You
donated to mine, you know? That's still, like, that's still being
yeah,
a part of it, I guess,
true,
in a way.
But,
you're not, like,
but
an advocate
things, yeah,
in front
but,
of it, but
raising funds is hard work, you
I
know?
Did it in 2 days.
It's amazing that you guys do that,
you
know?
I'm racing in the LA Marathon.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's hard.
I know.
Yeah.
I did that years ago. They had us all when that started, you know.
Yeah.
They had us all of us out the front of the race.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going, you're going, like, help. Oh, no, they're coming. You want me to race? No, I can't.
You're like, no.
It's all the things you do as an actress, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. Mine's for the Children's Alliance, which is for abused kids, and they take them out of foster homes that are not good. They make sure they go into correct foster homes until they're adopted, and help children up until they're 21, because a lot of troubled teens actually come from, you know, being abused when they're younger, or orphaned, or come from foster homes. So they really help these kids a lot. So mine is for, this is for the kids, but I'm also doing another one in April for Reality Rally, which is for breast cancer. So it's called Michelle's Place. So
oh, wow. Going on. Cool. I know. That's great. Good for you.
Thank you.
You're good. You give back, and it's like really. If everyone just gave a teeny, teeny bit back,
exactly.
I mean, look what we themselves. Would be. Yeah. I mean, look where the world would be. Look what, well, much better off. I mean, it would be so great.
Yeah.
I agree.
Get a little outside of yourself and help other people.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's karma. It's like, it's good karma. It comes back around. What goes around comes around. It really, really does.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it, then don't. But if you got, I mean, $5. It's $5. If you don't have it, donate what you can. You know, it's like if you can do more, that would be amazing. And thank you to all those that have done it. But if you're out there and you're still struggling, you know, a couple dollars, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see here on your website it says win a Y&R set visit hosted by me.
Did that happen already? Yeah, that was something for like on Charity Buzz.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll donate, you know, that. Because our set is closed and you cannot get on that. So, and so the show so graciously allows me to do that once in a while to bring people on the set. Like for, at my tea that we do, we raise a lot of money.
That's great.
Doing that. Because you cannot get on the show that. Otherwise,
That's great. That's really great they do that.
And everybody can find out all about it on katelinder.com.
Yeah, www.katelinder.com. Right. And I have my Facebook and Twitter too.
You Twitter can access links here that. As well.
Just you can go there and just access it from my website, and so that would be great.
Yeah. Right. And her Twitter is @katelinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
And let's see what else I wanted. Oh, I was just looking here at your episodes and everything. What's The Expatriate? Did you?
Actually, it's two films coming up. That I did Hysteria with Maggie Gyllenhaal and Hugh Dancy and Rupert Everett will be premiering May 18th.
Wow.
Sony Pictures Classics. So I'm
That's
really
great.
Excited about that. I have a small role, but it's. You know, it's good. And then Expatriate is with Aaron Eckhart, and that'll be coming out later this year.
Oh,
wow.
Summer,
congratulations.
Maybe. So, some really, they're smaller roles, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how I started on the show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you want to do more films?
I love doing films. Mm-hmm. I love doing it all. And as long as I can still do the show then I'm great, because I do a lot of theater, too, when I can.
Oh, that's great.
Because that's where I started. And,
Boy,
you really know whether they like you or hate you. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Kate Linder, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Very interesting stuff. Congratulations on the star, of course, and the continued success on Young and the Restless.
Thank you. I enjoyed both of you. Are fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
You do a great job, and you have a great show.
Thank you very much. So everybody check out our website and Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's it. Brigetta, thank you so much.
Tomorrow we have Melissa Braverman on the show.
Okay. Braverman.
Braverman.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
She's. I'll tell you who she is tomorrow.
Okay.
We are out
all
of time. But thanks for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
Been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.